book. I gave you, it's in the, I put it, oh.
I thought well, good day and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Guam Regional Transit Authority Board of Directors meeting. It is now 3 o'clock p.m. and I call this meeting to order. I will go ahead and begin with roll call.
Gerard Cruz, Vice Chair.
Penny Gates, Board Secretary.
Rick Augustine, Executive Manager.
David Renz, Board Member.
Andrew Tedinko, Board Member.
Myra Soriano, Administrative Officer.
Okay.
Mark Kersoff, Transportation Supervisor.
Michelle Marquez, Tagging Texas. Lisa Odo, Paratransit Rider. Lynn Tidinko, Fair Focus Advisory Chair and Paratransit Rider.
Clara Carbolino, Program Coordinator 4. Lou Mesa, parent and legal guardian and advocate for Clinton, my son, who will be at the Paratransit Rider.
I'm also a lawyer.
Marley Molino, Paratransit Rider.
Rodney Clement, Paratransit Rider.
Frank Martin, General Manager of Guam Solid Waste. I'm always interested in transportation issues.
Lourdes Vasquez-Mendoza, Fair Advisory Member, a family advocate. This is my son, Clifford Vasquez-Wooten. He's nonverbal. He's an individual with disability.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. And I'd like to say welcome on board to our newest employee for the Regional Transit Authority, Pilar. Welcome.
Pilar, please stand up.
Thank you.
BC 4.
Welcome aboard.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and move along to the approval of minutes.
The minutes is for September 19th.
We sent out a revised one this morning.
Yes, I did. I always edit it right.
I make a motion to approve the September 19, 2017 board minutes.
Do you have a second?
Second. Okay, there you go.
Okay, motion by Andrew Tedinko, second by Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. We'll go ahead and move to Executive Manager's Report. Go ahead, Mr. Augustine.
As required, whenever any of our employee or any of our board members go off island training, they're required to do a report. And there's a report that was submitted by Ms. Brenda Athalik. She went for a transit training in Nevada, and then on her way back, stop off at Honolulu, visiting with Hawaii DOT to get training on how to become a certified or certifier for disadvantaged business enterprise. We've never had anyone in the office who can go out now and entice small business to participate in any of the procurement for transit. So this is a very significant training because it is an item of interest from the state management review. Secondly, Mayor, you've been there, you've seen it, you read it. We have two oversights, one at the 8th of November and the other one's on the 15th. There are a lot of interest on our maintenance issues, and of course we've already worked with DPW for us to utilize their mechanics. On weekends, we're having an MOA or an MOU with them. Their problem would be, or their challenge would be, even if the mechanics are available and we have money to pay overtime, is the procurement system for us to get the parts. It's in any procurement system, especially a government procurement system. The reason why it's slow is because it is the way the government does business so they can protect the taxpayer. And that is why the system within the government to acquire anything is very slow. It doesn't matter whether it's local government or federal government. That's going to be our challenge. Secondly, on the newspaper, two people from the governor's office, Eric Palacios and Pep Pinata, although we are an autonomous agency, it's unusual for the governor to send to an autonomous agency any help, but we welcome any help that we can get at this point, especially moving forward with procurement and getting additional money from the front office. We have lots of challenges, but I think we've got a system and the team in place to make it work. The two biggest challenges that we have is the acquisition system within a government entity and the fact that our funds have been cut. Our overall net gain for this year, even though we had 18 buses last year, last fiscal year, was $2,605. That's almost the same as the 2016, 2017. Now here it is, 2018. And for $2,605, there's no way we can run an additional 7 buses, because way back then, up to 2016, we were using 11 buses. That's my report as the executive manager. I'll entertain any questions if you allow.
Thank you very much, Rick. Is there any questions?
No.
Okay. And then, by the way, Brenda, that was a very good report that you've given. Everyone, were you able to go through it?
I was not able to go through it.
Okay. It was sent via email, so if
yes,
you have any questions. Okay.
Plus, it's also on your phone.
Okay. Okay, so there being no questions, we'll move along to board approvals. Rick, you want to go ahead and explain that?
Actually, this was my report, but I have it on the item number 4. That's a separate item that I'm supposed to report.
Okay.
Executive manager's $197,000 issue.
Mm-hmm.
During the state management review that was had here in April, evaluators have indicated there was $197,000 of federal money that we need to account for because it was used to procure the services of a contractor to write up a bus spec, bus specification. So we're working with the feds on resolving that issue. This was a question that was asked by Senator, Mr. Speaker, during the budget hearing back in June.
Okay, but just one more time, in regards to that, weren't we tapping into DPW's contract, or does GRTA actually have a contract with them directly?
No, it was not allowed. DPW is not GRTA. At that time, it was thought that since the contractor was working for DPW, and part of that work was to write the transit business plan, that it was okay to use the same contractor to write our bus specification. The contractor did not go out, that was not bidded out, and that is the contention that FTA has an issue with, is that $197,000 for bus spec should have been competitively bidded out, which was not done. And I could show you the report on that particular subject.
We piggyback on DPW's
contract.
Okay. So we are finding ways to address that issue with the state management review, and we're actively engaging with them as we speak.
And then how about the one that said it was okay to pay, but then he's no longer with them?
Okay, that's the same issue. We were told at that time that if we found monies that we use with this grant administration, that they will give that to us as a credit. We are still looking for how much money that is, so that would be that would offset this $197,000.
Okay, So we're still just awaiting the AG's recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now for any questions, anyone?
No.
Okay, so moving along for board approvals, the focus group fare increase.
Okay. Now, at the time that the focus group came, headed by Ms. Linda Linko and Lou Mesa, the task for the focus group is to get with the ridership and advocates for riders to do a study, a research, if you will, and find out what would be a reasonable fare increase for the buses. We haven't had a fare increase in over 37 years. And we did the required public hearing of three different public hearings. To me, that's what's required by law. However, we wanted to give the riders a real involvement and a real say on how they feel about the bus fare. And so the board approved for a bus fare study group, which was headed up by the ridership community and by the leadership of Linda Dinko and Lou Mesa, plus a couple other people in that. So when they came to present it, there was a slight disappointment because now another set of fare was introduced by one of our directors. And so what I wanted to do here, Mayor, is give the opportunity again for the bus fare focus group to present their case, because the outcome of this is that we wanted for the board to put a motion to approve it or disprove it. And if we do approve it, we were originally set to make it effective 1 January, but because it's taking so long, I recommend that if it's approved, that it will be 1 July instead. So I'd like to have Linda Dinko explain what the bus fare is about, coming from their perspective.
I'm sorry to bring my paper over. Yes, Lou, can I ask you to read the fare thing? I'll go ahead and talk about our summary, but if you do the fare table itself, I usually use my tablet to make it big. We did work for 10 consecutive weeks. We met on Thursday. We had a really proactive group of 9 individuals who represented the different ridership, and also with an advocate from the American Job Center, and she was very hands-on and very involved with us. And we did present our proposal, and I asked Lou to read that to you. And we felt that there should be a fare increase, a fair and reasonable, and we did a lot of research and compared it even to some of the ones offline, and especially we used Hawaii as a model. Of course, the population's different. So, we presented it to the board, and I know they were telling us that you guys didn't have a quorum for a while, so it was going to be addressed when there was a quorum, so which I'm really happy to see today that there is. I'm going to go ahead and ask Lou if she could please read the our proposed rate for the paratransit and the fixed route.
So you just want me to read just the rate, you don't want the comparison?
Yeah, the comparison too. Please, because I think it was helpful, they said.
But you will come up with it.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the fare increases comparison chart that the fare committee came up with. And what it did is it compared the fare increases. First, it took the current rate for both the fixed route and paratransit and then GRTA's proposed rate in 2016 when the public hearing came out. Then we had the advisory committee's proposal that we submitted to the board during your May board meeting. Okay, and what we wanted to do with the comparison chart is to show the percentage of increase, because that was very important to us too. It kind of just gives you a little visual, okay, on what it is. So that's what I'm going to read out. Okay, so I'm going to start with the fixed route. With the current for the full fare was $1. The discounted fare, and maybe let me just go with just not the discounted fare. I'll just stick with the fixed route first. So the full, and I'm going to go across so you can just see the percentage, okay? So the full fare, the current rate is $1. GRTA's proposed was $2, or 100% increase. The advisory committee was $1.50, a 50% increase. For the full fare day pass, the current is $3. GRTA proposed is $5, which is a 67% increase. The advisory committee, $4, a 33% increase. For the full fare week pass, current is $15. GRTA proposed $25, 67% increase. The advisory committee, $20, a 33% increase. For the full fare monthly pass, the current is $55. GRTA proposes $75, a 36% increase. The advisory committee, $65, or 18% increase. So looking at the increases for GRTA, it ranges from the current, from the lowest of a 36% increase to as high as 100% increase. Okay, that's for the fixed route. For the advisory committees, just on the fixed route, the lowest was an 18% increase, and its highest was a 50% increase. Okay, so now we go into the discounted fare. Okay, the discounted fare. Current is 35 cents, GRTA 50 cents, 42% increase, the advisory 50 cents, so we agreed, 42% increase. For the discount day pass, current is $1, GRTA proposes $1.50 for a 50% increase, and we agreed with that. We also put ours at $1.50, 50% increase. Discount week pass, current is $5. GRTA proposes $7.50, a 50% increase. Advisory committee agrees with that, $7.50 for a 50% increase. And then the discount monthly pass is current is $20. GRTA proposes $25, and the advisory committee agreed with $25 for a 25% increase. Okay, so pretty much with the discounted fare, the advisory committee agreed with GRTA that was reasonable and fair. Now, I think the biggest concerns and the biggest voice and that came out and disagreement was the paratransit fares. Because what GRTA was proposing and what Mr. St. Augustine was saying that for over
37 years.
For over 37 years, right? There was no fare increase. And for all that time, the paratransit fares was pretty much the same as the discounted fares. Okay, this time they're removing the paratransit and putting them in a totally whole different fare, which are much higher increase. So this is the paratransit for the one ride. Currently we're paying the same thing, 35 cents as the discounted rate. GRTA is proposing a $3 for a 757% increase. The advisory committee is proposing 50 cents for 42% increase, so the same as the discounted fare. The paratransit day pass current is $1. GRTA is proposing $7.50 for a 650% increase. Advisory committee is proposing $1.50 for a 50% increase. For the week pass, the current is $5. GRTA is proposing $37.50 for a 650% increase.
The advisory committee is proposing $750 for a 50% increase. The monthly pass for a paratransit, the current is $20. GRTA is proposing $80 for a 300% increase. The advisory committee, $25 for a 25% increase. So let me just go over again what GRTA is proposing, looking at the increase for just the paratransit. The lowest is the monthly 300%, as high as a one ride, $757 increase. With the advisory committee, their lowest is a 25% increase for the monthly pass, to the highest of a day pass and week pass of a 50%. And we felt that this, going with both the fixed route and the discounted fare, the increase is pretty much kind of the same, not too high. And we thought that was fair and reasonable, and not to charge them what GRTA is proposing. That was a big increase that we felt that those riding the paratransit will not be able to afford. And that's it. And that's my...
Okay.
Thank you, Lou. Let me add to that, Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
When we went out and did the pre-public hearing, and then we came back, I felt, and it was recorded in our meeting, both by the media and in our board minutes, that we recommended, followed by Mr. Andrew Tadinko, that we need to have the ridership very involved in this, because some of the increases that we proposed was very, 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 very high, up to 757%.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that it costs more to provide service to our paratransit riders. We all know that. It's door to door or curb to curb. But I was concerned at that time about elasticity. Just how far do we stretch raising the bus fare, and then now it's too costly and people can't ride or don't want to ride it. So to be reasonable, we asked that we form a focus group from the riders themselves. So when I got the report and I took a fresh look at the report, I believe that what the ridership can afford is what we should adopt. And that is why we're sticking with this chart and accepting what the riders can afford, because we're not trying to make the bus fare comparable, because the bus fare for paratransit is very low versus the amount we spend for paratransit. But the whole idea here is to provide transportation, especially to those that have very low income, no income, or on a fixed income, and 0.757% is just outrageous. So the idea is not making it comparable based on the cost per ride for paratransit, but make it elastic enough and acceptable enough by the people that have to pay.
Can I go ahead and
yes.
just add? And I think that's pretty much what the advisory committee also agreed on. I mean, if you make these fares that high, 757%, you're just going to drive your ridership down. I know that it is costly. I mean, we heard that. But again, there are other ways, I think, that also that the management, when you had the people coming over here and you had the management state review. Yeah. I mean, I did not look at all the recent ones, but the last one that you had. They did also talk about that you had the two types of riders for paratransit, your conditional and the unconditional. And you do have a policy in place that says there what the conditional riders riding and the unconditional, that a conditional rider rides the paratransit only under certain conditions. Otherwise, they're supposed to ride the fixed route. I think what the state management was saying in that report is that that was not being enforced. There was nothing in place so that anybody, Paris Transit, conditional, unconditional, picks up the phone and calls the provider, they just give them the ride, which is why it's driving up the cost, because we're not enforcing
The policy that GRTA has in place already for the two types of rider, because you made the decision when you gave the conditional and the unconditional, because you looked at all of our forms that we turned into you, the medical and everything else there, of why you would give that, you know, why you would be an unconditional and why you would be a conditional rider. Maybe if we just put something in place to enforce that, that could help maybe drive down the cost. And that's something I hope the court will think about, to figure a way out. Now that you have the right people in place that you brought in, maybe they can, and I think they're intelligent enough to come up with a way, a system, to try to see if you can enforce that. Thank you.
So, at this point, Mayor, we've been through this several times now, and I am asking that the board look at it and take action on this ferry increase based on an elastic ferry increase that is reasonable for our riders to afford to pay. And like I said, we haven't had a ferry increase in 37 years. With the caveat that if you have this fare increase approved, that perhaps every 2 years we go back and review it again and not wait to another 37 years.
Okay. Gerard had a question?
No, not a question. Just a comment. You know, when my sister started riding the paratransit, she's a conditional rider, and when she tried to make a schedule to go somewhere else other than to work or dialysis or a doctor's appointment, they denied her a ride. So I guess as far as Kloppenburg is concerned, they're trying to follow who is conditional, who is unconditional. But yeah, I'm just not too sure how much they're enforcing that policy and how many riders are listed on their list as conditional and unconditional. So I guess we just gotta get with the the schedule maker. Just to make sure that the conditional riders only get rides according to the conditions that were provided for.
True. And let me give a real quick example out there. If you are a unconditional rider and that just down one block is the fixed route, you're encouraged to use the fixed route right. However, we have issues with sidewalks with big telephone poles right in the middle of it. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think Mr. Tom Anglonia, when I first got here, is constantly perturbed by the fact that although we have lots of money to fix roads, we've never really, and this is not a GRTA issue, but it's something that we can contribute to the conversation with DPW, is fix it so that sidewalks and crosswalks are in fact accessible. If you can catch a paratransit ride to the nearest fixed route, and you're going to go to Kmart, GPO, American Newson Mall, Ruby Tuesdays, then and the fixed route goes there, then there's no reason why a person on a scooter can't do that. But there are other things beyond our control to do that. Now, for everybody in the room, we have 460 paratransit riders, and we have only 6 assets to service 460 people. So therefore, you will find that there'll be some denials for a ride for that day. Also within the rules from FDA is that should you have a fixed route, we're only required to provide service within 3/4 of amount on each side of the fixed route as the crow flies. However, our culture and our custom is to help people as much as we can. So here we are. Red line, going up to from again, let's say to the University of Guam. We pick people up that are paratransit riders more than 3/4 of a mile away. So what that does is now it keeps this vehicle farther away, so you're picking up less and less people because now the distance is wide, and so there's less coverage for only those people that are within those 3/4 mile. So there's a lot of different things that affects this thing called ride denial. Statistics wise, is our ride denial is very slow. I don't know if you have that with you, but we've shown that to the legislature. It's probably less than 1% or 1%. We're not comparing ourselves to Hawaii because we're not Hawaii. We don't have the budget for Hawaii. But as far as addressing the issue with the assets and the budget that we have, I think we're providing the service that we can based on the resources that we have. So back to the question is that we had it for board approval, and we've been waiting for this for the longest time, and the focus group has been waiting for it for the longest time.
Okay. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
So what is your proposed, if this is approved today, what is your proposed timeline again?
If it was originally, if we had approved this back in May, right, it would have been 1 January 2018. But because now we have to react to having to come up with new bus tickets for those that already bought bus tickets for a whole year, we give people an opportunity to use up those older bus tickets. It gives us an opportunity to find the budget to publish new bus tickets. So I'm proposing, as the executive manager, having checked with my staff, but I think it's reasonable to now have it effective 1 July instead of 1 January. That will allow the families to adjust their budget based on this recommendation.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, again, I felt I wasn't here when the last public hearings happened, when they had the last AAA hearings. I was all fine, but when I came back, and Rick had mentioned to, you know, for to hear the riders, because, you know, they had came, and I saw that concern. These are my people too. I ride the bus, so I feel what they're talking about. So I motion to approve the advisory commission or the advisory focus group so proposed rates for the increase and have it in effect, like Rick had mentioned, July 1st of 2018.
Second the motion.
Paul, can I add to that first? with the condition that we can revisit this in 2 years.
Oh, yes.
Or every 2 years at least.
Thank you.
That way we don't go 37 years without visiting it again.
Okay.
I second the motion.
Okay. There was a motion to accept the advisory committee's proposed rates. With the conditions that we revisited every 2 years, and it was seconded by Dave.
And to put in effect by July
1st. Oh, and to be effective July 1st, 2018.
And 2 years from July 1st,
yeah,
2018.
So the anniversary of the implementation date, that's when we will revisit the fare increase again.
2020.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, no one opposed? Unanimously approved.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Could you please recognize the group that was involved? Lou, could you?
Lou and Lynn?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
Okay. I'd like to introduce you to our very, very active, and we worked very hard, hardworking group of our team. It was a great team. And those present here today are Lisa Oko.
Lisa.
And he's no longer with us, but he was a very active part, the late Mr. Roy Rosario. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have also Miss Lou Mendiola.
Not here.
Back here. Oh, there, back there. And I really thank my vice chair. She really helped me a lot, helped us all a lot, because I was sick too this year. Lou Mesa, and Mr. Thomas Maglotia, Marlon Molinos, he's joined us late in the group, but really helped us. Rodney Kalimlim. And also, she isn't present today, but she was very instrumental in helping us. She gave us a different view. She was our advocate from the American Job Center, Ms. Virginia Mendiola. Thank you all for, we make a great team. We're not done yet. We're still got to go to the legislature.
Okay, thank you, everyone. And we'll go ahead and move on.
Okay, the next part, Mayor's Old Business Visit. As you know, $1 million of federal funds from FTA was assigned to help DSIT come up with a DSIT resource center. That is still actively being worked with DSIT, GRTA, and GEDA. That $1 million is, once the building is built, we own 2,500 square foot of office space. And the reason why we need that office space is we've been homeless now and we've moved four times and it's time to find us a home. And so once GEDA informs us that they actually have this thing out for bid, then we would be in those meetings and we would claim our office space and if we would own that office space. We're not going to give $1 million to DSIT just to find ourselves 15 years later kicked out because we're basically leasing it. We're not leasing anything. I want to be absolutely clear about that. We're going to own 2,500 square feet of office space. So as things progress, I will keep the board informed. That's all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Yeah, that was my question about that 15 year and we have to pay rent. I just wasn't comfortable with that, but thank you for bringing that up and keep us informed on that.
Okay.
Was anyone able to check on the property in Hagatnya?
You're talking about the old mass transit building?
Right. Because it's the same situation of what happened with Department of Parks and Recreation, where they tried to move everybody down to Paseo, and then they gave Civil Service Commission the Agana Heights office. But that Agana Heights office building belongs to Parks and Recreation. That's, you know, the whole, everything was still under them, but Civil Service was able to go in there administratively through executive order. But it cannot happen without going through the legislature. So right now I want to know, did anybody ever check on if it is still administratively done?
No.
Just still under GRTA's name?
Is it still under GRTA's name?
It was actually by legislation, and I'll find that public law, and it was given to the Hagatnya mayor, but there's certain conditions attached to it. And I would bring that on the next meeting and show you what those conditions are. And at this very moment, they're not following those conditions.
Okay.
So there's still hope to get that facility back. And that facility is basically where we used to do our maintenance on our equipment. Right now, we don't have a piece of property given to us by the government of Guam to conduct or to build a bus maintenance facility. We're still working that with the Department of Land Management, but as an alternate, there's already an existing building in Agana, the Hagatnya mayor's office, and not to make enemies with the mayor, but if it's not following the conditions and covenants of what the law is, then certainly I would tell the board and we can probably move forward with that.
Okay. No, it's just to also highlight that this is another one of the problems that the legislature has caused for this agency, is giving that building away and our funding and all that. You know, this is just another one that they need to be reminded of.
I hear you loud and clear, Mayor.
Okay. Maybe they thought they would abolish GMTA.
So right.
We don't need it anymore.
Right.
Okay. Maybe, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. So anything else on that old business?
That should be it. Now we can go going to budget if you would allow Ira Abaya to go to the budget.
Yes.
Okay, good. Madam Chair, good afternoon, everyone. Well, everybody knows that we are now into the new fiscal year, 2018, started in October. Okay. Although originally we requested from the legislature the amount of $5,900,000 to be able to give a reliable and dependable public transportation to our riders and the general public. Unfortunately, we were only given $3,663,958. Okay, being what is said that it was only that amount that was given to us, we have to operate within the level of the allocation, budget allocation that was given to us. So out of the 3 million, if you are looking at the first page of my budget report, okay, on the very top side, left-hand side square, it will show you the breakdown, okay, the breakdown of what happened and how I distributed the 3,663 into different categories of our operation. Okay, the 3.663, it's not only going for bus transit operation. Okay, it goes to salaries, it goes to benefits, it goes to supplies, other miscellaneous items, and our telephone system. Okay, but most of the bulk of our budget goes to public transit operation. So if we add, because we have two sources of revenue, okay, for our operation, it is the Guam Highway Fund. We were given $3,211,082 from that source, and from the Public Transit Fund, we were given $455,481.
Myra, so, can I just break it? It is go not, ahead, it is not revenue. It is what is allocated to us. Revenue is the bus fare collection.
Okay, but the budget came from yes. that source.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Came from those sources. Okay, so if we total both of them, it came to $3,663,958. Okay, and on I have to deduct some of our other miscellaneous contractual requirements for the FY18 GRTA operation. If you look at on the right hand side of the page, on the, there's another square over there, there's other miscellaneous contractual requirements, which are legal services, Xerox copier, internet, our drinking water delivery, print advertisement services, office and AC repairs, maintenance, printing services. Just like now, we have to print new bus fares, so I allocated $5,000 on that. And also for our trash collection, our ground maintenance services, you know, to clean up all our terminals, and also allocated $100,000 for the preventive repairs and maintenance of our buses. We also allocated record services, new tires replacement for our new buses, and also we, for the meantime, we did a sole source of repair and maintenance as a quick fix while we are working on the invitation for bid for the repairs and maintenance of all our buses. Okay, so the total of everything in short is, you know, the projected amount is $270,199. So out of the $2,238,011, I deducted that additional other miscellaneous that we have to spend, it went down to 2,598,210 as for funding for the bus operation services. This is on the local side. Okay? Oh, that is on the second square below. As the breakdown, you'll see it. Okay, the total funding when I minus the other contractual, it became 2,598,210. But if I'm going to deduct our projected cost of operation for FY18, which we already cut it to 12 vehicles, okay, versus the previous operation in FY17 of 18 vehicles, we projected that we are going to spend 3.5 million, okay? If you see the local allocation of 2,598 minus projected bus operation services of 3.5, we are looking at a shortfall of 901,790 from the local funds. Okay? Now, at this point, the federal funds kicks in. Okay? For FY17, there was a carried over of 1,087,225 from FY87 federal funds that we can use into FY18 operation. Okay, so if I include that, it will show that we have a little bit of amount of 185,435 leftover or lapses at the end of the fiscal year. Okay, all of this amount of 185 is based on the government-owned vehicles. Okay, so that's indicated here that this amount excludes contractors-owned vehicles and undetermined fuel costs. Projection was based on government-owned vehicles only. Okay, so we are not really sure about this 185 whether or not it's gonna happen. It might be going less, or it might be another shortfall. So as of now, this is the projection. Okay, so if you see on the very last square, there is the breakdown of the federal funds available at the moment. In FY17, we received 2 grants. Okay, the first batch, the remaining balance from there is 311,488, and the second batch, the amount allocated for bus operation was 775,737, which is still intact. Okay, so if you add both, it's going to be 1,087,000. That's how I got it over here. That's how I infused it into the shortfall from the local funds, and it came out that we have some surplus left of 185,435. Go ahead, boss.
It's a tentative surplus, provided all of the vehicles moving forward is strictly government owned. Now, should we run into trouble? If you look up at the contractual for bus service operation of the 15% reserve, if you add 342,503 plus 68,322, that gives you $410,825. So if you took that amount plus 185,435, that is a significant amount, I think, that would carry us through and we will not have any shortfall. On top of that, with the bus collection for this fiscal year, we should have enough money to now address other transit system. The transit is not just about buses. If I'm sitting down in the dark somewhere and there's no solar system, there's no bench, there's no bus shelter, this is part and parcel of a transit system, and it's not just buses. okay? Mm-hmm. We have to infuse a transportation management system which allow us to use transit technology. And we're working on that also. Well, as a matter of fact, by the end of this year, we would have a contract for us to track all of our equipment, give us all of the data, track all of our gas usage and all that. And hopefully that we have enough money to buy 23 bus surveillance cameras. That's not in our buses right now. But this is very, very critical because the bus drivers have been threatened by drunk riders, chronic complainers, abusive riders. And so it protects both the ridership and the drivers. So we don't really have a lot of fluff around here. And when we use those money, we're going to use it judiciously to address the entire system and not just bus operation.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, continue on. Had the front office or BBMR did not impose the 15% reserve that we have to take out from already the decreased of our budget request, then I believe that we will not have too much of a problem. Okay, but right now, the way it is, we have to put aside 15% of the 3,663,000. Okay, we cannot use it for now. But in the event that we are really running out of money and it's critical that we need this money to be released, we can request BBMR for those monies to be released. So in other words, this 185,000 can be addressed by asking BBMR to release the reserve, because the reserve is altogether 549,000. It's more than half a million. Okay? So, any question?
No.
Okay. But by looking at the, you know, the first page, basically, this is the summary of everything. So, to me, I think this is already good enough for everybody's information. But if we go to the next page two, we don't have that much to report yet. As of October, we spent, okay, for bus operation services for October, we spent 284,966.68 already. Okay, for the cost of bus operation alone, 272,412.25, and the fuel expense that we expended for October was 12,554.43. So a total of 284,966 was spent for the month of October. Okay, and so far we have collected bus fares for the month of October, 8,700.70. Okay, so far that's the only report for bus operation services that I could share with you for today. And if we're going to the third page, it's just a summary of all the available grant funds to GRTA. I indicated everything here, but it doesn't mean that whatever is in here are all going to bus operation services. There are figures here that is strictly going for bus procurement only. Okay, so we cannot use that figure or money to pay for bus services. So in other words, the only funding available for bus operation services for FY18 is 1,876,25.40.
Okay.
That concludes my
Any questions? Okay, item number 8, bus operation schedule.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I'm gonna talk two things in regards to operations. We have the bus operations and then maintenance. But I'm going to start off with maintenance. I'm just going to give an update of where we stand now compared to last week. So currently, we have one RBOC, one bus, and five MB1s. This is to include the VA van. So in total, we have six vehicles operational. In maintenance, preventive maintenance, this is for services right now. We have three MB1s in service right now. One's at Fukuda, and two are up in Ace Auto. And this is a subcontract from Fukuda himself.
Over to this place is in Jigo?
In Jigo, Ace Auto. So that's all Fukuda. So technically, there's three vehicles in services with Fukuda. Okay, there's three. And right now, we have 10 RBOC buses that are inoperable, not working. And we have six MB1s. Compared to last week, the only operational vehicles we had was one RBOC and three MB1s. So we have forward progress in getting our buses and vans up and running. We have forward progress. Currently, like my boss said, that we are working with DPW, with the MOA, so that they can perform maintenance, unscheduled maintenance for our vehicles, and then also working the piece with the procurement side as well. And I just want to make clear that I did say that the clock will start for the 30 day. I will have the entire fleet operational in 30 days, and the center gave me 45. Provided there's parts on hand and we have that procurement piece. But right now we're just piecing it as we go. As we receive a PO, we execute. I execute. Okay.
Talk a little bit about DPAs and IDIQs.
So right now the BPA is the blank purchase agreements. The blanket purchase agreements we received VPAs for tires for the MB1s and RBOC tires. We received three POs. Two of them are already exhausted. That's what made our MB1 numbers increase. And currently we're working on the third one. And we also received another PO for the RBOC tires as well. Okay. And that's the maintenance piece as far as just our vehicles alone. And with that said, back in September.
Can I interject here real quick, Mark? Yeah. Our goal for this year is to have 12 vehicles serving the community because that's what the budget can bear. That's either all of our vehicle, all 12, or a mix of the vendor and ours. Today, we have nine buses serving the community. Six of those are assigned to paratransit. We've never missed providing buses for paratransit. Now, the fixed route may have been inconvenienced, but the entire route has been served also. So our goal is to put up 12 vehicles, combination of vendor own and our own, but the real goal that we have is to use only our vehicle, and that's what we're working on. So it was never just one bus running like the media have stated, but it was actually seven buses that was running, but they only reported one. And that stood out, and that was one for our fixed route. They kind of not talk about paratransit, but we have to make that clear, is that we have coverage for all of it, but we've never shorted paratransit, even at the expense of removing one of the fixed route buses and throwing it over to paratransit when one of those paratransit buses went down, as was stated in the radio by one of our riders. I want to make sure that everybody's clear on that, because my advice to my team, our team, keep your head down, filter out the political noise, and focus on your work and carry on the mission. That's it. And anybody else that wants to do something else, you can vote for your favorite candidate, but I can tell you, there's no Republican bus or Democrat bus out here. And which part of the word bus can you not find the word us? The bus belongs to all of us. Take it, ride it. It's hard to be strong and got you out of the way, but go ahead, please. Are you crying?
No. I was so just cry. So just a caveat on what the boss said. just a caveat is the aside from the goals of having our GRTA buses on the road, all 12 of them, the operational goal is to have all 23 up and running. That is the ultimate goal, is to have all of our buses up and running and properly maintained and cycle through services and all that. So with that said, the September brief, I believe everyone saw this one, correct? Mm-hmm. This is the plan that we produced.
Is it included in the
package? No.
So
no.
With that said, I created a schedule based on the budget that we could afford, and with that, it was 6 paratransit vehicles and 6 for fixed, so a total of 12. This is where the 12 comes in, with a budget of 3.1, with a cap of 3.5. Okay, so I created the schedule, and that schedule was supposed to be effective 15 November. However, and I'll pass one out to that schedule was supposed to be in effect 15 November. However, due to the maintenance situation we're in, on the latter part of October, I had to create a modified schedule of a schedule to where the number of available buses, that means operational buses, can support the island, the ridership on fixed route, just fixed route. Again, we never took any buses away from Para. Para always remained 6 buses, okay? So I created a modified schedule because the lack of buses on the road because of maintenance or one thing or another, if we had 2 bus up collectively, 2 buses operational, then I had to create a schedule to where 2 buses will service all of our routes, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5, and 6. So we did not, this schedule here, we did not execute this schedule because of our maintenance issue going on right now. So we are still executing a modified schedule, and currently, right now, I was just informed by the dispatchers that we are running a 4 bus operations. That means one going south in Iran, Green Line, one going down Agate, Mariso, one shooting up in the central, and then of course Gray Line in the north.
Plus the 6 paratransit.
Plus the 6 paratransit. Just remember, we did not hinder paratransit buses. 6 paratransit buses will always be on the road. Okay, so right now, until we get our buses, GRTA buses on the road, we're going to still continue with this modified schedule. And again, it varies day by day because these buses, whether it's ours or vendors, they're pretty beat up. Okay, and we're gonna play with that bus operations by ear. Every morning, every afternoon, I feed the director, my boss, and the staff a situational report of where we stand currently. This is at 6:30 in the morning, and then in the afternoon at 1300, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I give them an update, give the team an update of where we at. So every day it may change. It may increase our number of buses on the road for fixed route, or it may decrease because of maintenance issues. However, we are aggressively pushing to get our CRTA buses back on the road and then properly maintained at the same time.
Okay, thank you.
Can I add on questions? To that, Mayor? There was this big question on the oversight. So, Mr. Augustine, how come you do not have a preventative maintenance program for your buses? The answer is no money. We have money to buy the bus, and vans, all 23 of them. And by the way, for the record, 2% of that is local money, $68,000. This is how much our senators support transit. $68,000, that's not even, that can't even buy one van. One van, because it's ADA, Buy America, and all this requirement, it's $70,000. So 2% of our budget to buy equipment after 25 years of no government-owned vehicle, after 25 years, they give me $68,000, man. And after begging the front office for money, and then it finally got down to the legislature, the net gain from last year's budget is only $2,605, which is less than 1%. I mean, that's about 4 hours of operation one day, and that's it. You burn up whatever they gave us. So transit has always been marginalized, and you can go to the OPA report. It can tell you for the last 10 years where all this liquid fuel tax money and the mass transit automotive surcharge is. This is the same thing that Mr. Magnolia was talking to the legislature. Where $500,000 went to University of Guam. $1.2 million goes to your favorite organization. Different monies goes different places, but that's our source of funds. And I really need to get with Senator Ruggan, because we can talk all about transit and point fingers, but if we don't have the money, no money, I'm telling my staff, if we have a project, but there's no money behind it, forget it. Don't even go there. Do what you can do as long as it's budget. No budget, don't even go there. So this is the fight that I would like to have the board have. Once a year, we'll meet with the transportation committee from the legislature and roll up our sleeve and say, Jens, let's get serious. Because otherwise, it's just a cookie cutter budget process. You got 3.6 last year, Mr. Oxen. What's the difference? That was the first question that came out of the shoot. What's the difference, Mr. Augustine? Well, senators, you guys were beating me up when this budget was parked out here, and then we put it out there, but you didn't say anything. And now when the budget came around, and you gave me $2,605. That my daughter says, that gets for reals.
Okay.
You know? So that's all I'm going to say, because okay. I'm venting here right now.
Thank you.
Here,
yes.
On Mark's report, I'd like to comment, you know, good job, Mark. Keep it up, and with the live daily updates, you know, at least we're hearing it. And the second thing is, to all the people, the advisory, everyone in this room, please pass on that information of what you're hearing today in the board meeting of the challenges we still have. The fair was one thing, so we still got issues, and I hope this group can stick together and advocate for transit needs that we have. So please share the current challenges that we still have and educate, so that, you know, people actually know the truth and not just what the media is saying. Because it's very frustrating for all of us. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew.
I have a question for Mark.
Yes.
Mark.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks for your report. But do you have the ridership report for October?
I was getting there.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
And lastly, the ridership. So from September to October, of course, there's a decrease. Mm-hmm. All right. right now, from September to October, we had a decrease of 2,000 riders.
Okay.
For fixed route. Paratransit was about 150 riders. This is from September to October. And then the total ridership from September to October was roughly 1,200 riders.
Wow. Okay.
This is September.
To give you a perspective, also, Mayor, when we had all 18 buses running out there, that address, the issue of frequency and coverage, we were running two shuttle buses on each side of the southern end of the island. And the riders liked it because now they can get home quicker. But since we don't have any money, we had to remove that shuttle, the four shuttle buses. And so we're going to have the same problem with the riders from the south, is that it's taking me too long to get to Agana, and it's taking me too long to get back to my home. This is an issue that needs to be addressed, and when we find the money, we would ask the board to allow us to put the shuttle back. It's always been any transit entities' challenges is coverage, frequency, and geometric challenge, which means the roads are not perfectly square or perfectly rectangled. Guam's roads, primary roads, secondary roads, tertiary roads, those are a big challenge to running a reliable transportation for the island. But the way to do that is just give us the right assets, give us the right funding, we will make it happen.
Okay. Anything else, Mark?
And that would be it.
Okay.
As a matter of comparison, with 18 buses for fiscal year 2017, we had 30,000 more riders. 30,000 more riders. Okay? Because we had 18 buses out there. I'm reporting on the chief planner's portion here, Mayor. Riley has two medical appointments that he couldn't miss, otherwise he had to pay $50 each, $25. So I'm reporting for him.
But
this is on number 9 on the agenda.
But
the one procurement activity that we have currently is the transportation management system, where you would have a separate room, and you would have schedulers and dispatchers that would monitor the whereabouts of our equipment, the consumption of fuel, even to the point as to how fast that vehicle is going, because it will report it to you. So it's been a long drawn out process, almost a year, just to negotiate with the best bidder. And we are projecting, based on negotiated prices, to make that announcement by the end of this calendar year, December. Once that's done, sometimes in January, the winning vendor will come out here, install the software, and provide the training. Once we train our own people, now we take over that function from KEI. That's always been the goal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making good progress. That's the only major procurement activity that's going on right now.
Okay, any questions?
No.
Okay. New business.
Under ethics training, we have two board members, Director Gerard Cruz and Director David Aarons, went to ethics training that we paid. I think it was the University of Guam. University of Guam or GCC?
University of Guam.
University of Guam, plus two of our employees, Mark and Jennifer, went to the training. It's important that if you haven't taken this training and you're a board member, please speak up, because that's a requirement by law. I took it when I took the job. It's not required for Mark, but sooner or later he's going to be working on procurement issues or giving me some ideas on how to move forward with procurement. And when he starts talking about procurement, your best buddy that sells you stuff before, they're no longer your best buddy, okay? It's arm's length transaction. You cannot sell them tickets, ask them to pay $1,000 to play golf with you, fishing trip, nothing, none of that. I catch you, you're out of here. Secondly, B, personal hygiene or transit riders. My favorite subject.
Yes.
I don't like this bus because it's full of stinky people. Holy mackerel. I work for a garbage collection company, and I can only ride the bus because I can only afford a dollar each way, and now somebody's complaining because I smell stinky at 5 o'clock in the evening. Give me a break here. I may have a medical condition that caused me to smell. We cannot discriminate against those people, and if you start asking them questions, that's a HIPAA situation, and you could be sued for that. Then you have people that have multiple sensory issues with smell. They'll complain about this, and they even complain about the buses, and when that's not enough, they complain about the people on the bus. So we have to be very careful of how we treat this with the media and how it gets blown out of proportion. But we can be all taken to the cleaners once we start discriminating as to who rides, because we don't have a smellometer on the bus, or we did not assign a bus driver to smell people and reject who gets on the bus or not, who not gets on the bus. There's actually some court cases if you really want to get close with Mr. Google. There are court cases where transit have been taken to the cleaners because they didn't handle it properly. We need to handle it properly. So that's the issue with that personal hygiene. Transit driver, personal device to record on buses. We have encouraged our vendor to fire bus drivers because cameras from the riders, actual personal cameras on your cell phone, take pictures of bus drivers not doing something right, and they were fired. Now, when the bus driver has his own recording device and leaves it on the dashboard, and somebody is threatening them, we can't use that? No, we're not using it for us. We're not using it for transit. The driver is now protecting himself. We cannot stop the driver from protecting himself to record that somebody's harassing them, making it difficult for them to focus on the road and making it unsafe for them to drive that vehicle. We don't have a policy. However, this is where this 23 cameras, civilian cameras that as mentioned 30 minutes ago. Okay? That is the issue. Special meeting criteria. Let's have a special board meeting. I'm not preaching here, man. I'm excited. Why do we have special board meeting? Do we just have special board meeting because somebody says, let's have one? No. We have to say a special board meeting happens because this is the criteria that we set up for special board meeting. And we need to address that on other on emails and then come to the meeting, because we just cannot have a special board meeting just for the hell of having a special board meeting. If we didn't have a quorum, that's no reason to have a special board meeting. Okay? And lastly, GRTA transit use for charter vehicle. Believe it or not, there was a professor who works for UCLA. His name is Keith Camacho from Saipan. that has the Asian American Studies Department, and he wants to bring out a Guam travel study program. This is in July of next year. And so basically it's asking, can you guys dedicate one or two buses for our use, and we will pay the going rate. And by the way, if you can give us a discount, we appreciate it also. So we're not there yet, but once we do, we may entertain that. I think it's a good program. You'll bring college students out here from UCLA, they'll know more about Guam, and that's good for the community and good for the economy. That's all I have now.
Okay. Okay, so going back to personal hygiene, you mentioned, you know, different scenarios of people coming in, but is there any requirement or, you know, like if something's all over somebody, I mean, can the bus stop or let them rinse off or something, or, you know, before they come into the bus with, you know, if something is all over them?
I think the FDA states that if a person comes in who is smelling, you cannot deny them a ride. But if they are carrying, like some people go into the trash can for food, if they're carrying a bag of that, you know, trash or whatever it is that smells, you can ask them to throw that away before they get on the bus. If they refuse, then you can deny them the ride.
We have not yet, and to add on to Director Cruz's remark, we have not yet established a specific criteria as to who passes to get on the bus. That particular instance, when we had that situation, we actually brought, what's the name of the agency?
Public Health.
Guam Behavioral. We had two staff members from Guam Behavioral, and we sat here and we indicated that there was a complaint, and we worked it out where that they would now start paying more attention to their clients and their hygiene.
Okay, well, I'm just asking about, like, you know, if throw up or something is just all over them, instead of bringing in and to the bus, you know.
Then the bus driver is allowed to call dispatch and say, hey, what do you want me to do with this guy? Just like when the smell of alcohol, they have that option to report it. And if it was reported quickly to us, we could go and investigate, or at least if that becomes repetitive, then now we know that that's a problem. But if it's only it happened once, we cannot tell the guy not to ride the bus.
Okay.
So we know
a special cases.
Yeah, special
okay.
case. Okay.
Okay. So any questions regarding this new business? I know that Director Porter is off island, but she did offer us training, and then she wanted me to bring up information regarding the training curriculum and certification. You guys, all you other directors received her email regarding training curriculum and certification, inclusion of Medicare cardholders for discounted fare on fixed route, and removal of costs to applicants of paratransit service. And then it says required by FTA. She asked that we discuss this about Please have discussion about the drafts and consider them for action within the next few months. Okay.
I have not read it.
Okay. So, and
this
then...
This time, yeah. I did see the email, but I have not had a chance.
For free?
But if they're riding the fixed route, and instead of giving them a discounted rate, they get on the bus for free.
By her providing that.
Okay, the training.
The training.
Yes, she's offering it for free.
Regarding what?
Driver passenger assistance training.
Yes, passenger assistance.
And what is
safety?
What is the other one? The fare
and sensitivity training.
For the people who have Medicare cards who are over 60 years old. As long as they have their Medicare card, they get on the bus for free.
I think this requires that everybody goes back and look at that email,
mm-hmm.
and so we can have this discussion. My main contention, Mayor, when I read that email is this.
Mm-hmm.
As an agency, we should not be receiving anything for free. There was a big newspaper article where our sister agency, our landlord, was mentioned on the paper that an employee was giving free stuff to DPW, free services or whatever it is that they did. And it was considered not proper. And for anybody that's offering free now, and let's say 3 years later, that same person was to be offering it not for free, then the other vendors competing with this person would say, hey, you're favoring her because she gave you free stuff before. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm certainly going to say that it's gonna serve us. And so we have to gingerly move forward addressing this issue one at a time and with much thought. That's my only advice.
Could we table this for board discussion, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I've been kind of tied up, so
okay.
I wasn't able to read it.
Okay, well, that's just discussion. So, okay, we'll go ahead and move along to public comments.
Just two.
Okay, we only have two that signed up to make a comment. And we'll go ahead and start with Ms. Lynn Tidinko.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't check on the agenda today. I wasn't sure if it was going to be addressed, but I was going to address the fair focus, which thank you very much, everybody. There is something that I do want to bring up, I like to think of a nice person, but there is something that I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I work well with, you know, like the dispatchers and the schedulers. I really work, and I'm kind of concerned for them as well, because I know that the new phone system, I know it's fairly new. I don't know if everybody, you know, if the training has been done yet,
mm-hmm.
but I'm concerned for as a rider and as for the schedulers on the other side, because I could imagine it's really stressful. When you call now, I think it's great that they're moving ahead with technology, but the new phone system, when I'm number 15 on the queue, and by the time I get down to number one and they transfer me,
voicemail.
What I hear is, please leave a message. It's like, what? I've been on the phone for, you know.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And I'm not a chronic complainer, but you know, so okay, so maybe he or she is busy. I hang up and call again. It starts again at 14. I don't know if there's maybe we need to find another way to, you know, that can, you know, can help them. Because when I finally got the dispatcher on the line, I was nice to say, hey, you know, I found out they're the only person there, and all I was trying to do was get on the list to get a schedule, and I was like, I just asked, I said, okay, you took my number, can I ask you how many, you know, what number am I? Lynn, you're number 52. I said, huh? I called at 8:05. How did I get down to 52? You know, which I wasn't causing trouble, but I don't know. And I feel bad because there's usually only one person, and that person has to deal with all that. So I don't know. Maybe they need to devise a system or visit that, and I'm you know, to for both sides, for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn, we have Brad to address that. And maybe this is a focus group too.
Yeah. I mean,
yes, we.
I'm not complaining.
Really
I'm
be
just like voicing my. And I feel bad for them too, because you know they're nice people that work there.
Uh-huh.
And when you know I when you get them, I finally you know got back after the third call after the 35, almost 40 queues, 40 queues, right?
Yeah.
And I said, hey, girl, are you okay? Is everything all right there? You know, because I know sometimes they're alone. And they go, oh, yes, Lynn, I'm just very busy. And you could tell. You know, you could, they're not lying.
Yes,
and I was
okay.
Like, man, I feel like I need to go there and help you check calls.
Lynn, let's have Brad.
I feel like
here's Brad. He'll address
I can,
it.
I think I can
great.
Mostly answer
yeah.
your question. Yeah. We did switch over to a new phone system, mainly because although we had kind of told GRTA ahead of time we weren't going to move forward with it because for cost constraints when we were going through the bid process, but we've done the shift company-wide, not just for GRTA, mainly because there's certain reporting requirements that we're obligated to provide to GRTA for FTA. So we've made the switch. Unfortunately, when we made the switch, we couldn't run both the old and the new system simultaneously. We had to cut the cord with the old one. And so there has been some glitches. It's a software-based system. And so we're sorting through that now, so we should have that all worked out. And I know some of the issues, leaving voicemail or calls getting dropped suddenly. But to answer the other part of your question, I think one of the things with this new system that we've been able to see is the sheer volume of calls that we're getting. Before, you would call and it would be busy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because there wasn't anybody there. It was just busy because the phone wasn't the new system has the capability of just ringing and putting you into a queue instead of getting a busy signal. But we're getting over 700 calls a day.
Yeah.
Wow. And most hours of the day there's three people there. There's actually three people there. So when you add it all up, we're getting almost a call a minute.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot of calls, especially when and those are just calls coming in. Not all of those are answered. Some of those are calls that people end up hanging up because we're also finding out just how much time it's taking per customer. You know, I think in reality you kind of want to limit it to around 3 minutes or so, but you know, there's certain times where we just get stuck on the phone, you know, for 15 minutes at a time with trying to help one individual, and so unfortunately that keeps us from being able to help everybody else that's in the queue. So hopefully now with this new system we can kind of, now that we see that, we can find a way to make it flow better for everybody. So I mean, we're aware of it, and it's not something we're going to ignore. I'll say that.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you. I mean, you guys may find this funny, but I leave and have a talk with our peers. Say, hey, you know, when you call to make your ride, know where you want to go, know the time frame, do the scheduler a favor too, and say, hey, I need to be there by 8:45, oh gosh, one time I went there for a meeting, and I like, what? How come somebody that I know was making a call? I said, you don't know what time you need to go somewhere? You know, you're holding up the line for all of us that do know where we want to go, and get your information ready before you call the scheduler, because it helps them too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps them too. So we have a responsibility as riders, right, guys,
mm-hmm.
to help to streamline that process. So you know, to help them, help us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that I wanted to bring up. Because after 15 being number 15, and it goes to please leave a message, huh?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Brad.
Okay, Lou Mesa, you also.
I have the phone system, but because there was something mentioned by Board Director Gerard, I also want to talk about it. Since the provider's here, I do want to address that. And then the other one's about the fair committee. but the phone system too. Because I called on the 11th and on the 12th trying to get through, and this is me, this is not Clinton. So I wasn't on the 15th queue. I was number five. But even with that, it took almost 10 minutes to get down to the number one. And like Lynn, when I finally was the number one, it told me to leave a message. Or an option is press star for the operator, which I pressed the star because I wanted to talk to somebody, which told me after that to leave a message, right? I mean, that happened all the during those three times that I called. So if this was my son that was doing that, because I was getting frustrated. Now, I could see him, you know, being on the spectrum or someone intellectual or cognitive, they'll be confused, not only confused, frustrated. And for my son, there may be a meltdown at this point. You just give up. I did give up after a while, too. I just said, forget
it. You took the meltdown for your son.
Day, which I did, you know. But again, it was the same thing. I finally got through, I think Tracy, you know, I when Tracy and I spoke on the 18th, I did share my concern. She did tell me that you had the new system, you know, going in place, and I'm hoping that that will be, you know, addressed.
Yeah, it's being addressed at the moment.
It would be nice, really, to just, I understand the sheer number of calls that you're getting, but it's really not just to pick up the phone sometimes and just, you know, speak directly or say that, you know, your call is back. I guess we were used to that. The other thing that, just a recommendation, I mean, GTA for the call center, but when you do call, they'll tell you if it's busy, how many minutes that you're going to be waiting. That kind of gives you a little help, because I could see an issue for those who have a prepaid and using their cell phone. My whole minutes will be probably gone just waiting on the phone. You know? I won't have anymore if I was using my cell phone, you know, to call and make that. The other thing, I don't think it distinguishes what kind of calls are coming in. Because if we were just making a call just to find out where's the bus, we're on wait again. Is there any way? I know that Rodney did make a suggestion that maybe you
can tell you,
There's the way to do like a menu where you can say for scheduling, press one or dispatch.
That's what he was saying. Maybe you have a designated line for, you know.
The capabilities to add that.
Maybe that could be considered, because, you know, I don't want to wait just to find out where this bus. I'm sorry, my purse? Where's my purse?
I'm so very sorry, man. I'm sorry.
I apologize.
On my sugar license.
Back up. Okay,
one. No, I don't think that's
good vibes in here right now.
Okay, I'm just following what you want. Oh, they were.
I got my electronics out there. When the board in December approved to have the fair advisory committee to address the fair, I wanted to know what the board is, the fair advisory committee still in standing? Has it been dissolved? Where are we now that today we approve the fair increase? What is the status now of the fair advisory committee?
I would think since we got the mission over, it would be dissolved for now, and then if it had to be revisited in that time, if we're all still alive by then.
Like I say, when you were saying in 2 years,
yeah, in 2 years.
Bring back the advisory committee and maybe have.
Yeah.
So
hopefully you guys would still be.
There is no longer fair
advisory committee. Yeah, because the task has been complete it?
Yes. Okay, that's, I want to make but sure that we...
Can I comment on, but for other issues, please, can the advisory committee, if it, you know, as or even as concerned citizens, if you guys want to stick together to help with other issues regarding, you know, to help this agency move forward, please, yes. Yeah. I think the board would appreciate, I'm speaking on behalf of myself, though, but...
But to remain as a support group, of course. Yes.
I believe that if another group would like to now be recognized as helping forward, that'd be nice also. But as a core of people that have undergone this process, I would like to see that core of people that was continue. In this process to continue forward, because I can tell you, during the budget process last year, I am not one of those directors that will bring in masses of people just to make sure that I don't faint while I'm talking to the senator. But Tom, I think you were very effective last week when you said
you spoke.
Said to the effect that once you guys win the election, you can get one of us. Okay? And so I want you to be the conscience on the next budget meeting. I will have my superstar back here.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay? But that's
out of order. Okay, cool. We have one more requesting to speak. Go ahead, Rodney.
I have one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said three.
Okay.
Now, earlier when I was mentioning about
the land affair
policy or the regulations that GRTA has in place about enforcing the conditional rider.
Yes.
Okay, so Board Director Gerard mentioned that he believes that the provider is doing that. So the provider is here. So I wanted to find out, because he wasn't sure, he said he thinks they were doing it. So are you enforcing the conditional ridership policy?
Well, I wasn't, kind of walked in late, so I wasn't sure exactly what he's referring to, but it's something I can.
Okay, so for the two types of paratransit riders, the unconditional and the conditional. So with the conditional, they use the paratransit only under certain conditions, which is supposed to be listed, and I guess whatever it is, that application that they turn in. Right. Otherwise, they write the fixed route.
Right.
So our question is there a system in place that the provider is using to enforce the unconditional?
As far as I know, yes, we're following the policies and conditions.
And let me add to that. I've been making my own observations, and I think we've been overly generous in the past to allow people that don't have any functionality issues and continue to abuse the system. Okay? I know of at least one case where we addressed that, and that person is no longer using fast pass because he is perfectly capable of running a 5K every other weekend. Walk and is seen at the bar at 9 o'clock at night. So that person is no longer with Firecast. So we will on your what you call it, eligibility. No. What is the word when you come back for your
renewal?
When you come back for your renewal, we will very much pay attention to giving you a functionality test, so that if you've been writing the unconditional criteria when in fact you should be conditional, then we will do our part for GRTA to do that.
Now you said there are 460 paratransit riders.
460.
Okay, so how many of those are conditional and how many are unconditional holding that?
We will provide that to you.
Okay.
I'm
just, wanted to kind of.
No, we will provide.
And then maybe later I could hear from how you are, what's the system that you have in place. I'm very curious to find out how that. Thank you.
Take a note of that.
Okay.
And I make sure
system.
The board members.
Yeah. You said Bonnie
Kalim?
Yes.
Bonnie? Hey,
Rodney. Okay. I got several because, what Lou was talking about, this phone system. If there could be a dedicated line just for scheduling, and a dedicated line just for dispatching our late buses, because in Hawaii,
there's just one line, but there's several, you know, lines in it that it's only dedicated for scheduling, and there's another line that's solely dedicated to dispatching late maps, late buses. So just a suggestion, if you could do that, where just, you know, I know there's three lines, 7433 and 7434 and 7435. If you could make one of those lines just solely dedicated for scheduling, and one line solely dedicated for dispatching running buses, then it'll be easier.
Yeah, it's possible, and it doesn't have to be specifically those lines. You could call any three of those lines, and
filter,
you would get a menu basically saying press one for scheduling.
Yes. And then another thing is, I'll admit, I'm one of those people that would call, and if I'm at 5, 6, or 7, or 8, I will hang up because my phone is on a prepaid. As soon as it something answers, and the music starts playing, and when I listen that I'm at what position I am, I would hang up and call back again because my timer is running. My prepaid phone is being deducted for just waiting and waiting and waiting. So I admit I'm one of those people. If there could be one where, you know, like what Lee said, tell me how many minutes I'll be waiting, and if it's too long, then I'll just hang up and wait again or call the next day. Secondly, this is the one I'm always, and Brad, I'm glad you're here to hear it, that I'm always having an issue with. My pickup time is 5:30 in the morning going to dialysis. And I'm always talking about dialysis. Any other day besides dialysis, I'm not worried about it. Don't put a complaint about it if the bus is late. Just last week, Friday, I was picked up late again going to dialysis. I don't know what the issue was, but the driver told me, oh, you got to talk to Mike because it was he's the one that told me to change this, change that. Keep in mind, if I get picked up late at the dialysis, my treatment time, we will be deducted. It will be deducted. And I'll show you that letter again from the dialysis that they are deducting my time for me to be picked up late. And another thing, on time performances. I was told by the bus drivers that they have to be at my place on time. Mind you, there are some bus drivers that drive so slow. And they asked them, what's going to happen? I'd like to ask you guys, what will happen to the bus drivers if they pick me up early? So let's say my time is at 5:30. They pick me up at 5:10, 5:15, just to take me to dialysis. So, you know, because their schedule also is really, really tight. If you haven't noticed the schedule for the bus drivers, they are really tight. So I said, pick me up early. I don't mind going early. But they don't want to because they think they're going to get fired. What will happen to the bus driver?
They're allowed a certain window. There's a certain window that they're allowed to do early pickups. 15
minutes. It's 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after. Yeah. So you have a 20-minute window. But as far as terminating the driver for being there early to pick you up, that's...
We would tell them to be there as early as 15 minutes.
What I was told is that they can't come early.
Yeah,
they can't come early.
The earliest they come is 15.
If my pickup's at 5:30, they said, and this is the drivers. Yeah. They're not saying anything about what if they could pick me up early. They said they were told it has to be on time performance, and that they can't pick up anybody early.
Well, we do monitor on time performance, but in terms of, you know, paratransit and stuff, I don't think we've never had an issue with disciplining drivers for early pickups, you know, especially if the rider is ready.
That's why I called up the bus driver and I tell them, hey, I'm ready. If you want to pick me up early, pick me up. And they'll say, oh, we can't because they have GPS. They'll know what time we are at your place.
Yeah. Usually the request for early pickup when we get them is, normally the issue is that they may already be transiting someone else and they might not be able to get there early. Stick to the regular scheduled time.
With me, Brad, I'm the first pickup at 5:30.
Your case is somewhat different. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and every time I tell them, they're like, "Oh, we can't because they got a GPS on us, and we don't know what the consequences would be if we do come pick you up early."
Can we address that on the side? Because
just like last week, Friday, I got picked up late. 2 dialysis. And that's the only complaint. I don't complain about anything else, but that's 2 dialysis. That's my major complaint.
Okay.
And another thing is, you know, for riders that are riding the bus, and they're really one that's not supposed to be riding, what happens to them if they keep riding the bus?
Are you talking about paratransit?
Paratransit.
They're not eligible? Or they're eligible?
If they consistently cause problems on the bus, is there a policy that says this rider is no longer eligible to ride?
Press the button.
Eject. You know,
if a complaint comes in, we would have to review it.
Written complaint and it's consistent, then we will call that person in
for counseling,
either for counseling, or they can bring somebody with them so that they don't feel like we're ganging up on it. We're going to be fair and impartial. But if this person is really abusing the system, then we would need to know. If you paid a whole day pass and you rode in a bus and you keep going around and run around the island because you already paid for a whole day, then maybe you should be considerate, because there's other people that want to rent the vehicle. So we would address that issue, and if we find out who they are and we would work with the provider, we would need to address. We need to start refining our system and making sure that everybody contributes to the system and make it work, because we're all responsible, whether you're a driver, a ZRTA, a scheduler, or a writer. We all have our set of responsibilities. Right.
Okay.
Can I add on to that, what Rodney's saying? So this is something I always educate, you know, even though as I'm a board member, and Dave now is a board member, because Dave was one of those guys who tells me stories. And I said, okay, how you can be responsible, you can tell me all day long, 5 days a year, whatever, but call it in. Call transit. Don't call Kloppenburg. Call the agency, and give a verbal or formal complaint. Yeah.
Yeah, I send an email.
There you go. That's the documentation.
Yeah. Okay, thank you,
Madam Chair. I'm sorry. I'd like to. I think what I need to share is kind of important too, because I'd like, you know, the Kloppenbergs to hear this, because I think it's important not only to hear, you know, the our concerns, but also I would like to. To tell you that your employees, most of them are dedicated, and I say this because my initial call to get a ride to come here 2 days ago, and I wasn't rude about it, Lynn, I'm sorry, it's a ride to file, it's over, and I didn't say, well, don't you know who I am? I didn't do that. I said, thank you, but would you please, would it be okay if you could consider me if anybody cancels? Or anybody cancels or reschedules or anything, and they're nice about it. They're really nice about it. And you know what? They do call me back.
Yeah.
Lynn, we had a cancellation. I think you need to hear you know the good the kudos as well as the concern.
Yes.
And I really appreciate that, because you would think that I really don't have a ride to the board meeting. And I was like, how am I going to get there? You know, I'm not anybody's. You know, and even if there's no special people that should be on this to get a ride. So, you know, you do get rides to miles, and I'm okay with that. But I would like to thank you guys for really providing that customer service. You need to not only hear the complaints.
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to... One more for Rodney, and then we'll move to Tom.
I'd like to know, because we talked about this during our Fred Advisory Committee meeting, how do you guys determine a conditional
writer and an unconditional writer. And here's why I say this. When we were comparing our IDs, my ID was a conditional writer. Towards another writer, you know, the late Roy Rosario, he has the same condition as I do, which we're both blind, we both got dialysis, and we both have heart conditions. He was an unconditional writer, but I was a conditional writer. How is that?
It's functional limitations. There are some people on the, let's say for us who are blind, if we're capable of walking long distances, that would make, like, if I was to walk a 5K, that would make me an unconditional rider.
I don't walk 5Ks.
No, I'm just saying, I'm explaining to you what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, but and that's for...
How was I a conditional rider with, you know, I renewed my ID and all my list of health issues are there. And the same with Roy, but he got a U and I got a C. And then when I found out to change it to a U, when I first started the transit, I was a U. How did it become a C?
And how long ago was this when you first started using transit in what?
2010.
Okay. We would look at that. Ladies, get Mr. Kalimdin's number. We would find out because, yes, you have to have some sort of uniformity. Change. However, there's also this issue about I think there was one or two of our riders that actually went to a training where that allows person, what do they call that?
Travel mobility?
Ready?
Oh, yeah. Travel.
Yeah.
So if you're trained and you're travel ready, maybe your conditional or unconditional differs. So it's case by case, but we would, yes, it's very important that we standardize the process.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr.
Mungo. I understand the phone issue, but there's one thing I want to be aware of. You guys, Friday, all day, on and off, the phone's been going dead and going back on service to get the time. But the question is, when the phone goes dead, is there any way where we can still contact the power transit?
Through email.
Because Friday is, you know, all day in the afternoon, then the evening. I was at the mall in the afternoon. GTA kept calling, and it just hangs up. And then Bayless called. And then finally, I just took a chance one more time, and it went through. And then later on in the evening, after we had a meeting at ULG, the thing just kept on, it just went dead. And it went on for three or 4 hours. I was just lucky that before I got down for the bus, I told the driver, well, I will be. But I was just thinking about other people that no one knows where they are.
Mark, let him grab your shoulder. Yeah. Or his arm, your arm.
I do note last week, Tom, GTA went down.
Yeah.
GTA.
So what he's asking is, what's in play? Is there a backup plan?
Yeah, well, what we can do is we can work with GTA to create kind of a guideline for alternative contacts in the event something like that were to occur, and then we can have the information put out to everyone.
My other information, I don't think the public transit no more, but because all the buses are down, there are some people that are asking, how would they get home. I was in Bergara when the driver picked me up. And on the way out, there's a Korean lady that has to take the morning route, but it was already past 7:30. I know us, the disability, you make sure everybody's at home. What about the people that are also, you know, conditional, or, you know, unconditional, but they're already the public transit? How would they?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure anybody that we know is out there waiting for a ride is going to get home safely. But procedurally, is, I don't know, Rick, if there's anything. Contingencies in place now that offer guidance on what to do in those situations.
We will talk to the staff and come up with maybe a process where say, listen, I'm been waiting for the bus. I know it's getting close to 7:30, and that's the last pickup or whatever. And once that bus leaves and I show up, I don't have a ride home. So we need to address the case by case situation. Okay. Our goal is, like I said, 12 vehicles, whether it's partly yours or all of ours, but we will stick with the schedule that the buses ends up at the motor pool by 8:30. So if you're doing your business and it's past the time that the bus is supposed to be there and you're late, we also look at the riders to have their responsibility to make it their own time. I have a person that missed the bus because he made eye contact with the bus driver, but he didn't say, I want to ride. So the bus stopped and then just left. And the person called me and says, I made eye contact. Well, you know, buddy, make a move towards the bus so that the driver has an indication that you are taking the bus and not just making eye contact because you like each other.
I think maybe you're referring to an instance where maybe we have three routes out, but two of them go down, leaving us with only one. Yes. And is there any
backup
authority who can make the determination to extend the service hours for that last remaining bus?
Okay, part of it is I heard that what you're doing now is you do like 2 hours in Blue Line. Then you go to Red Line and all that. Mm-hmm. But at least let the other passengers know that when you pick them up, say, okay, I'm not gonna, we cannot, this is the last time for this, you have to wait for the afternoon. Instead of that, you say, wait, the coming, and it's, you know, mm-hmm. they're relying on the coming. And nobody showed up. That's the bad part.
I can. Briefly answer that because I've been working with the dispatchers. Because, for example, if the bus down south or coming from the north is running late, and that connection in the Ganyan, if they have to go south or wherever they're going, and that's the last run, normally I work with the dispatchers to say, hey, stand by, hold on, hold off for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, do not depart. Because we have a bus full of people coming down for a harmony, this, for example, and I work with the dispatchers. That's not always happening, but when it does, we execute that, and I instruct the dispatcher to just hold tight, don't let that bus run because
but
I got
how
a bus
do
coming.
How do you get that information?
The dispatchers report.
Okay.
Or I link up at the terminal in the evening. I go down to the terminal and I watch. So I'm out with all of the riders.
He follows up. You roam, right? You follow, yeah. And that's before. That's what Rudy used to do.
Tom, we're going to try to bring up as many buses as we can. But yes, I mean, I'm very appreciative that you made that comment so we can tighten up our procedure. Okay? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I talk 1 second? Just 2 things, real quick.
Oh, real quick. Go
yes.
Ahead.
Okay. So first one is for those of us who still have the tickets right now. I know you guys are talking about transitioning it.
Uh huh.
How? I mean, do we have to toss those? When
we'll
it
let you know.
Because
not right now.
What I was thinking that would be something we, you know, we, if there's a way we can utilize the tickets we still have at this time.
I think you got until July 1st next year.
Yeah, I know, right? So,
start using the bus more.
I know. Start using. No. The idea is, for example, if Mental Health buys 100 blocks of ticket.
Right.
And now it went from 35 cents to 50 cents. We would, the new ticket would offset value for value.
Mm. Okay. Another thing, you know the scheduling format right now, you gotta call 2 days in advance
yes.
prior to being here. That's
uh-huh.
too short of a time to make a schedule the proper way, especially if there's, if, like, especially if you have set appointments, for example. Because like I said, I've been a writer for about 20 years. So there were times during that, back then, they were scheduling 2 weeks in advance or a couple longer than 2 days in advance. So I was just wondering, is there a way for us to go back to something similar to that? Or do we have to stick with the 2 day schedule? Because the 2 day schedule to me is too short.
Okay. I believe that if you're a subscription
yeah.
writer, that
yeah.
they know to pick you up at a certain time. However, there's only so much that we can put on a subscription, right?
Understood.
So we can service the other writers because this is a shared writer.
Right.
But we'll look into that situation because if you say, I want to make an appointment 1 week later and everybody finds out, and everybody wants to be called in 1 week.
Right. No,
one
I mean,
week earlier,
I understand.
So,
because
so it would be the same.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like for example, like you said, with the doctor's appointments and dialysis
yes,
appointments,
yes.
all those things, especially,
yes.
for example, for those who are going to school or work, you know, I was told before we had to wait 30 days to set up this schedule, to set up this, you know,
subscription
ride. We have to ride 30 days within the same schedule in order to keep that. And I was like, why do we have to wait 30 days?
And that's an FDA?
To determine that we are subscribed, right? Because we got to go to school or we got to go to work.
No. That's an FDA requirement because a subscription writer also is, if you start messing
right.
up and not making your subscription right, not somebody else gets a ride denial because
right.
they went to you and you're not there. So,
right.
so we... This is a very important issue, and I'd like to discuss
yeah.
that even further. But if the board says, no, let's make it 3 days ahead,
yeah.
Maybe that's something we can live with. But
something reasonable. Because the way I see it with the 2 day grace period, I mean, that's why you see a lot of people being denied right
yeah.
at most times. Yeah.
Back to if it's 2 days, everybody calls in 2 days before. So now we make it 3 days. So everybody calls in 3 days. Before.
Right.
So what have we gained?
May I say something, Rick, about that real quick?
Yes.
I rode the bus since 2004 regularly up until this present date. From 2004, when I was riding, all the way up until 2012, some of the schedulers that are working in Turtle Tours are familiar with, we had the 2 week advance scheduling. Not only that we had that, but we were able to call and make the schedule right on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came back from Hawaii, which was 2012, I believe 2013, it was abolished and it was changed to 2 days, you know, and then you have to make a call 2 days in advance. I was not aware on our process and everything with the laws and all that.
I think what happened was the demand response.
There was no...
Was it the demand response?
No, the scheduling.
No, the one where you call up and it's available.
No, that's another service. I'm talking about, we had 2 weeks, we were able to make schedule 14 days in advance. Once you call, you were able to make a schedule right on the spot. You didn't have to wait for a scheduler to get your name and number. However, in 2013, from my recollection, because I was not new into like the process and the laws of the transit or whatever, still learning, it got changed to you have to make a call, leave your name and number, and you have 2 days in advance to do that. I don't believe that there was ever a AAA process. You know, I believe it was just done by someone's, you know,
I would probably say
this is the way it
right.
should be, but I believe back then, because I used to be a volunteer for fleet service in the dispatch room, and I saw the benefits of scheduling happening 2 weeks in advance and schedulers taking the call right on the spot. For example, like on Sundays,
how do we know if the scheduler is late to come into work? And how many schedules on Sunday, because there's no bus, how many calls does that scheduler take before she even starts processing to call back and make a schedule?
Okay.
Take people's schedule. That's all.
We will, maybe speak to you, I'll get more information, and we will look at that, and that maybe that's one of the things that we can go after this 3 days or 2 weeks. And because it looks like there's a lot of interest in going back to where we did it before, but I just didn't have the history behind it.
And then the man response was just a person calls up and gives their street address, and then they have to wait outside outside the road.
Yeah.
For the bus to come by.
And it's supposed to pick them up and take it to the nearest fixed route, but some people take it to the bank and joyride and then come back and use it as a personal taxi. I've gotten that kind of information also.
Okay.
The fixed route, I believe, the demand response, I believe, was stopped in like 2008 or
2009. So we would ask the board that's been here the longest to find out what was their experience and what was the guy doing back then.
Yeah,
okay.
I do recall that it was changed during a board meeting where they voted on that to change it from 2 weeks to 2 days. So they need to look up the minutes on that.
But the reason why
that happened way back.
They changed it because there was a lot of
But there had to have been a AAA. That couldn't have just been a policy change.
So there's a good question. I'm going to call Brendan Michelle.
Okay.
Thanks, Lee.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse us, we need to catch the bus.
Okay,
okay. Motion to adjourn.
We're just going into recess. Executive session.
I thought there's
There isn't?
Do you need...
No, it was just on the agenda.
Anybody?
Anyway, we're
just
adjourning
right now.
Thank you.
Motion
to adjourn.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. 17-12. 17-12.
5 to 5-12.
Meeting
agenda 5-12.
Over.
Eight.